Psalm 150. Praise God and praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him with his acts of power. Praise him with his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Come on, didn't he do a great job? Now, James, I'm going to move this stair. Teaching the stare like my dog. I'm like, stay there. Would you bow your heads forward to prayer? Lord, I want to pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts are acceptable to you and an offering of praise. Before we ask you to illumine our hearts, we want to offer our hearts. We want to bring something to you so that you can do something with it. And so may the work of the sermon this week be an offering to you. May the time that we give in this moment to understanding the scripture in our lives be an offering to you, and we pray that that offering would be something that you would then take and use and remind us of who you are and what you desire for us in worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you've got a bulletin. Just hold your bulletin up so you can look at the cover of it, and it says, Taking the Next Step. Taking the next step. You're going to need that bulletin at the end of this sermon, so have it near. But the idea here is over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about how do I take the next step in my discipleship journey? How do I actually grow deeper as a Christian? And how do I accept Jesus' love and his grace and come to know him in such a way that I become a person who is more joyful, who is more forgiving, who is more gracious to the people around me, more loving? How do I become more because of the decisions that I make in my life around my faith in Christ? And each week, I'm going to ask you to think about the next step that you're willing to take in that journey. Today, we're going to talk about worship. And the reason I want you to take those next steps is that many Christians believe that church membership is kind of the goal. Like if I come to a church and then I become a member, check, I've accomplished the goal. What I want to suggest is that membership in a church is like membership in a gym. It's about as beneficial as you use it, okay? And that also the church ought to be a place that gives me coaching, methodology, and training for spiritual health. Church ought to be a dynamic experience, not a static or a, boys and girls, church ought to be a place where people are on the move and not stuck in one place, all right? Sometimes Christians get a little stuck, and what we're trying to help them do is take a way to do this. Hey, let me ask you, do you know the phrase couch potato? Do you know the phrase? Yeah, you know the phrase. All right, now, many of us are stuck on a couch, right? We don't get the exercise we want. We don't get the movement we want. So there's a fitness regime, and it's called Couch to 5K. Have you heard of this? Couch to 5K. Now look at week one in Couch to 5K. The idea is you can move from sitting on your couch to running a five-kilometer race. Boys and girls, 5 kilometers, that's about 3.1 or 2 miles in that zone, right? And that's doable for most people. Even people that are as old as I am, believe it or not, can run that far if they work at it. Now, on week one of a Couch to 5K program, notice what it says. You start, it just says, hey, 8 times a week, would you run 1 minute and walk for 90 seconds? Raise your hand if you think you could run for 1 minute and walk for 90 seconds. Just raise your hand. Show of hands. The vast majority of us can probably do that. Unless you have a physical limitation of some sort, you can probably do that. Now, notice that week 8, look at the bottom of the chart. Week 8 says, by week 8, you're going to run for 30 minutes straight. You may not be able to see it in the purple, but that's what it says. Run for 30. Now, if I said, how many of us can run for 30 minutes straight, not near as many hands would go up. Amen? So week one is not running 30 minutes straight. Week eight is. But the idea is, if I'm willing to take one step of commitment after another, eventually I can get to the place where that happens. And I know people have used this plan and they've said it works. And so what's my point to you? Your spiritual life is just like this. It's about an ongoing set of commitments that you make. And the first one that we're going to talk about today is a commitment to worship. And that's where this psalm comes in. This same dynamic in our life in Christ happens when we worship. And I'll tell you, boys and girls, since I was your age, since I was the age of the baby being baptized this morning, I have been going to church week after week. Now, when I was your age, do you know how I went to church? My parents brought me, and my parents had a rule. Every week we were in church, every single week. We didn't miss church at all. We didn't miss it for fun. We didn't miss it for sports. We didn't ever miss it. And why did they do that? They wanted me to be in a habit of being in worship and being in church. So I went to church and Sunday school every single week. And can I tell you something about that? I did not always do it joyfully. I know you're shocked. There were Sundays where I would sit and go, no, I don't want to go, baby. God, it's so boring. So boring. Even when I was a teenager, some Sundays I'd be like, I was horrible. I could be a horrible, horrible person when I was a kid. Because I would sometimes say, don't make me go. And here's what I would say to my parents. I'd say, you know, the thing is so boring. They never talk about my stuff. They don't talk about, because you know what I wanted church to be about? I wanted church to be about me. Just me. Wouldn't it be great if we could all get together and just think about Tom for an hour on a Sunday? Right? And so I remember my mother and my father looking at me at different times just going, you know it's not about you, right? Church isn't about you. And here's the thing. When I was young, when I was a teenager, the pastor was trying to tell me about Jesus. The pastor was trying to tell me about the Holy Spirit. The pastor was trying to tell me how to live in the world. But you know what I wanted the pastor to talk about? The pastor was trying to get me to embrace God, and I wanted the pastor just to embrace me. Now, when you move from here, embracing yourself, do this. Just give yourself a big old hug. Go ahead. Give yourself a big old hug. When you move from embracing yourself to embracing God, now do this. And do it wide. Go ahead and do it wide. Get wide. I know the Methodists, many of you are like, just keep it in here, Tom. Just right here. Now, to get on wide, when you go to here, this is a stance, a posture of worship. So, when James, right? Yeah. When James read the scripture passage this morning, he said, praise the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him with surpassing greatness. Now, you weren't as loud as I am right now, but you weren't bad. You were not bad. You were pretty much out there. And I got to tell you something. Worship is calling you to a sense of excitement. It's calling you. And you know this in your personal life. You know that you have what we call transcendent moments. Boys and girls, say transcendent. Transcendent. You're going to need this when you take your high school exams, so just stick with me. Say it out loud again. Transcendent. Transcendent means beyond you. Bigger than you. It's transcendent. Sometimes people have transcendent moments in nature. How many of you saw the recent eclipse? The recent eclipse. Okay, there's a guy, what is his name? He's a weatherman in Chicago. His name's Tom Skilling. And he's apparently out in Chicago. He's been in weather for a long time out there. And they filmed him watching the eclipse. And I'm not going to show you the video, but you can see it online if you want to. And in this video of Tom Skilling, which went around the internet, went viral on the internet, he was talking about the, you know, what was going to happen and the eclipse and all that. But when it comes to the moment where he's looking at the eclipse, he actually became so choked up he couldn't speak on the air. He just kept saying over and over, he kept going, look, if you see the video, he goes, look at it. Look at it. Wow. Wow. And he gets so emotional, he's like dabbing tears back. Now, what is that? That's a moment, and here's what he said. He said, it totally snuck up on me. I was overwhelmed by the enormity of the eclipse, and I realized we are a very, very small part of the universe. A very, very small part of the universe. Now, it's not that he felt like he was worthless. It's he couldn't believe he got to be in the universe as small as he was. Now, when people, that's called a transcendent moment. When you realize how vast God is and how small you are, there's something in us that wants to worship. And I would argue that if you have transcendent moments, moments where you get choked up, moments, I mean, like this baptism, like holding a baby, right? And sometimes as a parent, or as a, I'm not a grandparent, but as a parent, you just, you can get kind of choked up. Parents, you ever had that experience? I would argue that if you have moments where you have a transcendent moment and get choked up, but you never desire to worship, there's something wrong in your heart. Something's just wrong in your heart. Most people find this in nature quite a bit. Anybody ever seen a whale break through the water before? Yeah, okay, so here's a picture of whales coming up through the water. Those whales are coming out of the water, and they're going to circle back on their backs. Boys and girls, these are humpback whales. They usually weigh up to 30,000 pounds. That is bigger than your parents and grandparents all tied together. 30,000 pounds. It is an amazing volume of force to shoot 30,000 pounds out of water into the air and land again. Now, scientists now believe that whales do this as a way of feeding. But for many, many years, nobody had any idea what they do this. There are still things that whales do that people aren't quite sure why they do what they do. Whales have songs that they sing underwater, and they're up to like 20 minutes long, the song will be the exact same thing over and over. Can you imagine remembering 20 minutes worth of music and singing 20 minutes of a song straight through that you've memorized, and then as soon as you stop, singing it over? And we're not even sure why the whales do it. That's because the whales are amazing. Now, I talk to people that work in animal science and in all the sciences, and here's what they tell me, the ones that are Christians. The more they know, the more they feel called to worship. Because there's something about the beauty of the way the universe is made, there's something about the world around you that invites you, that's calling you to worship. Yesterday morning, I was on the Reston Trail with a friend of mine, walking my dog early. Dew is still on a spider web. We're walking down the Reston Trail. We're like how many minutes per mile? We're doing all that stuff. We're walking down the trail, and I see this giant spider web on the side in a tree. And I said, stop. He goes, what? I said, stop, look. Look at the spider web. And I could tell my friend was like, yeah, you know what? This thing is moving, all right? But we stopped, and we looked at the spider web, and I thought, how long did it take that spider to spin that web? I mean, how long? And how did the spider know how to get circle after circle after circle? How? Boys and girls, when I see something like that, it makes me, I have a, say transcendent. I have a, come on, boys and girls, say transcendent. I have a transcendent moment, and it makes me want to worship because worship's calling. So that's why it says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for surpassing goodness. Life itself calls us to praise and worship. But if you're going to have real worship, you've got to show up like James did this morning. All right, now here's the deal. I'm walking out of the sanctuary, and James is out there, and he's getting ready because he knows he's going to. He looks at me, and he goes, I'm the reader. And I was like, what? What? I mean, I'm like, what are you talking about, kid? He was like, I'm the reader today. And he puts his hand up like this. He's like, give me a high five. And I could tell you're like, don't leave me hanging here. Don't do it, right? He said, because I'm the reader. Right. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you showed up as excited for worship as this young man did this morning? All right? When's the last time you walked in and said, hey, pastor, I'm the worshiper? Because worship only works when you bring you, the best you you can bring, okay? A lot of people come into worship, and let me just be honest. Boys and girls, I hate to say this about other people, but I'm going to. Sometimes people walk in, you know what they do? They're like, y'all better bring a good show today because I came here to worship and I expect it to be good. So it better, all the music better be good and everything better be good. And if it's not good, I'm going to express my disappointment. Now, you can't worship like that. Why? Because when you walk in, if you worship and you worship and you're thinking, hey, it better be good up there, what you're doing is this. You're going, this is about me. This is about my life. And you know what? You might be doing that because something really bad, really hard happened in your life. You might have something happen at school that wasn't fun, something in your family that wasn't fun. But listen, you, when you come to worship, you've got to walk in like James did. You've got to walk in like, I'm here. I'm ready. And it doesn't matter if you're reading or if you're worshiping. You've got to walk in with a posture that's open to receiving, because worship is, life is calling us to worship. But if you'll do that, then worship will expand you. That's the second thing I want you to remember. So boys and girls, you all have got these guides that you're writing things down on. When you see something on the screen, that's a good thing to write down. That's the something I want you to think about. Worship expands us. Now, what I was just describing, I want you to think of yourself as a sailboat. And every time you walk into worship, you've got to raise your sail. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit cannot fill your life if you don't put a sail up someday. And when you walk in here on any given Sunday, you've got to walk in with sail up. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? How do I do that? Well, I walk in a lot of times, boys and girls, a lot of times before people walk into this room, they pray. When they wake up in the morning, they say, I'm going to go to church. And so they pray, but they say, God, meet me in the sanctuary today and I'll meet you. But they make sure it happens. Sometimes when people walk in, they'll prepare for worship by walking around. And they're like, oh, Meredith's home this weekend from school. I'm so happy to see her. And you'll intentionally, you won't sit here and say, you won't do this. You won't sit here and say, this isn't a very friendly church because nobody's talking to me. Are you with me? See, what's that? That's this behavior right here. Instead, you'll before church starts, you'll see people walking around. They're going like, oh, it's so good you're here. I'm so glad. Good to see you. Hey, I'm Tom. I don't know if we've met before. Oh, you've been going to church 18 years here. Sorry. I blew that one, but we're good, right? And you're going to make a few mistakes. It doesn't matter. Why? Because people who come to worship are open-hearted. Amen? And if they're not, that's just something Jesus needs to talk to them about. You don't need to worry about it, all right? So you've got to get sail up so that worship can expand you. And here's part of that. Don't skip. Don't skip. National statistics, you skip 3 weeks, 21 days, you skip 3 weeks in a row, the likelihood of you coming back, very small. Very small. Habit gets broken. And I run into people in the community on a pretty regular basis because I've been here so long, who used to come to church here. And I'll say, hey, I haven't seen you in a long time. Are you going to church anywhere else? If they're going to church somewhere else, beautiful. Wherever the Holy Spirit's leading you, I am for it. I learned a long time ago, not everybody has to come here. I am great with that. I am secure in Jesus. That is okay. But here's what makes me sad. I run into people pretty regularly and I'll say, hey, are you going to church anywhere? And they'll say, no. You know, the kids got older and we fell out of the habit. You know, this happened and we fell off the habit. But what worries me is I sense they are not growing deeper in discipleship. I sense that some of the people I'm talking to, and they sometimes they tell me this, they're on a couch and they become spiritual couch potatoes. So I'm reminded of this story about a well, this family old farmhouse. They had this well, and the well brought up fresh water, cold water, good water, best water you've ever tasted. And then the house over the years was improved. They got electricity in the cabin, and then they got hot and cold running water. And when they got the hot and cold running water, they didn't need the well anymore. They were afraid somebody was going to fall down the well, so they covered it and they sealed it. And then they, about 10 years after that happened, the family was sitting around talking, do you remember the water that came out of the well? Oh my goodness, the water came out of the well, it was so good. And they said, let's open the well because our kids have never tasted the water in the well. And so they went out and they opened up the well and they got a bucket and they put it on the rope and they lowered it down the well. And then when it hit the bottom, it went thud. And they brought it back up, and there's no water. And they couldn't figure out what happened to the water because they had sealed it. Should have been plenty of water down there. They hadn't used it in years. And so they went. They started asking around. They finally found this old person. When you need to know something, you've got to find that old person because they know things. And they found this old person. They said, hey, what happened to our well? And the old person said, your well had tiny little streams called rivulets. And the water flowed in these tiny little streams, but the streams were so small that when you stopped using it, the rivulet no longer was kept clear, so sediment began to come in, and things got into the rivulet, and pretty soon the water couldn't flow anymore, and after a while, when it stopped flowing, it hardened, and that well's not coming back. Now, Jesus said, I'm the living water. But the deal with the living water is you've got to drop your bucket. And I want to tell you something. We have to do it in our personal lives with prayer and Bible reading. We also have to do it in corporate worship. And I run into people regularly who tell me, yeah, I'm feeling really dry. And listen, sometimes I can feel dry and I'm the guy preaching. I get dry. But I am here week after week, and the reason is I'm not going to let the well go dry. I'm going to attend to it. Because Jesus said, I am the living water. In the same way this water is coming down this fountain, I believe that Jesus meets us in this space. Amen? And you tell me when you walk out, hey, wow, this week God really comforted me. Hey, this week God really spoke to me and convicted me. Hey, this week, God really gave me some forgiveness. Hey, this week, and you tell me week after week what you get in worship, and it's not always the sermon. It's very disappointing. I wish it was all the sermon. But often, it's like that one song, that one scripture reading, that one prayer did it. And that's how God's expanding you. Finally, the last thing is this. Worship transforms us. So what do I mean by that? Worship transforms us. It helps us become more than we are. That's why the psalmist says, praise him with the sounding trumpet, and praise him with the harp and lyre, and praise him with the timbrel and dancing, and praise him with strings and pipe, and praise him with clash of cymbals and resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now, that sounds kind of like the psalmist is all in. Would you agree? Dance, music, speaking, praise the Lord. Do y'all know Denzel Washington? He's an actor. You know, he's an Academy Award-winning actor. Glory, Remember the Titans, recent movie that I really enjoyed, Fences. He's also a Christian. 2015, he was speaking at a church banquet, and he said this. He said, give thanks for blessings every day. Every day, embrace gratitude. Encourage others. It is impossible to be grateful and hateful in the same moment. I pray you'll put your slippers way under your bed at night so that when you wake up in the morning, you'll have to start on your knees to find them. And while you're down there, say a thank you. Say thank you to God. A bad attitude is like a flat tire. Until you change it, you're not going to go anywhere. And can I just be honest with you? I'm your pastor. I have a little conversation with myself from the worst parking place into my office every Sunday. And I say, this is not about you right now. I don't care if you're tired. I don't care if you had a good week or a bad week. I don't care if you're feeling surly or feeling happy. None of it matters. The only thing that matters right now is that you get in there and offer your very best to Jesus. For me, that's what worship's about. And I don't do it every single Sunday, but I really pray that just about every week because I've got to get over myself and into God. And boys and girls, that's what we do here in this place. Now, take out your bulletin like I told you you would need it. Every week, we're going to ask you to make a commitment. Can I borrow your bulletin, Jonathan? Every week, we're going to ask you to make a commitment in the next couple weeks. So notice under the order of worship, there are some boxes inside this box, and it says worship. Now, I want you to think about in the next couple minutes. Megan, go ahead and bring the band up. In the next couple of minutes, I want you to think about this. Would you be willing to pray about worshiping God on a more regular basis? What is that saying? It's saying maybe you only come once a month right now, and you're saying, I'm willing to pray about whether I should come more frequently. Does that sound like a pretty easy one for anybody? Does that feel accessible to you? Yes, no? Yeah, I think so too. That's fair, right? So that may be your commitment. Maybe you wanted to go deeper. I will make worship of God with my family of faith at Flores UMC one of the highest priorities of my week. Well, that's like saying I'm going to start going to the gym every single week. I'm not going to have a membership I use once a month, all right? So deeper. Third, if I can't be in worship, I'm going to go online and listen to the sermon. That's like saying if I'm traveling, I'm going to use that little tiny gym in the Holiday Inn Express. I'm going to do that, all right? It's not the best gym, but it's a gym, and I can move and I can get in motion. That's like deeper commitment. And then the last thing says this represents a new step for me in the area of worship. Now, I'm not going to ask you to turn this in this week. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment with God at this time. I'm going to pray for you, and then I want you to be willing to check one of these off. There are pencils in front of you. Your neighbor has one. You can ask one. If this is your church home, I am asking you to take a step of commitment today. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that we, over these next few weeks, will be on a discipleship pathway and think about whether we're really making any progress. Or whether maybe we've gotten a little stuck, or maybe if we started to drift off that path. And I want to pray, Lord, that this morning people would put a check mark somewhere in that box, and then that they would do what they checked. Just like a gym, our health is in our commitments. And so I pray, Lord, that you would bless us and call us to a deeper level of faith and an accountability to you. You are such a generous and gracious God, how much you have given us. And so we just want to come and offer you our praise each week. Amen. Now, check something off and check whatever is appropriate for you. And don't stand up and sing until you've made your check. But if you've made your check, go ahead and stand up and we're going to hear our last song.